والله يدعو إلى دار السلام ويهدي من يشاء إلى صراط مستقيم.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. All praise for Allah, Lord of the worlds, and peace and blessings be upon Prophet Muhammad, his companions, and all those who strive to follow in their footsteps. My dear viewers, brothers and sisters, welcome to another episode of Quran and Science. And in today's episode, we'll be discussing about the perfection of the creation of the sky, how it is perfect without any emptiness or voids. And for this, we have with us in the studio, Professor of Geology, Dr. Zaghloul Nagar. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show. I also like to introduce my dear brothers and guests, Zabihullah Kareem and Mustafa Ismail. Assalamu alaikum, welcome to the show. Okay, before we start explanation of the perfection of the sky and having the sky without any maybe mistakes or any voids or emptiness, we'll go to this verse or ayah, the sixth verse of Surah Qaf, and we'll return back, so stay tuned.
أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ كَيْفَ بَنَيْنَاهَا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا وَمَا لَهَا مِنْ فُرُوجٍ.
Do they not look at the sky above them, how we built it and adorned it, leaving no flaws therein?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. That was verse 6 of Surah Qaf. And before we move to a further explanation of this verse, I'd like to first to ask my dear guests, first of all, Zabihullah, what is the meaning or what is the indication that you're getting out of this verse?
Yeah, look into this verse, I get that Allah says, and do not they seize about the heavens, how we created, how we made and designed it in a very beautiful and organized way.
So it makes you think of the heaven.
Of the heaven, yeah.
Okay, so it makes you think of the perfection of the heaven. So exactly. This is just by looking at the sky. And are you getting any other meanings behind the ayah?
Yeah, that just to think about the power of Almighty Allah, that he created it in a very beautiful and organized way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what about you, Mustafa?
Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salam ala Rasulullah. You know, the meanings, as soon as I read the ayah, subhanAllah, the verse, it just makes me look at the sky right away. That's the first thing the first impression that I get right away. I just look at the sky and subhanAllah, I praise Allah. And it's a kind of worshipping, not just looking at the sea as well. So the sky, the same thing. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is inviting us, inviting me, you, everybody else, just to look at the sky and look at how great Allah is through His creation. That's just the first impression that I get right
that
away.
You get.
SubhanAllah.
Okay, yeah. SubhanAllah. Okay, first I welcome you, Doctor, for being here with us. It's a pleasure to have you. And we need to know your opinion about the perfection of the Creator, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the meaning of this verse.
In the name of Allah, our Creator, the Creator of the universe and of everything that's in it, I greet you all and greet our audience in our Islamic way. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. May Allah's peace, blessings and mercy be with you all. You see, the glorious Quran on very many occasions directs the attention of man to look into the sky in hundreds of verses, because one of the ways of understanding how great Allah is, how wise Allah is, how powerful Allah is to see His creation. You see, so long our souls are imprisoned in that flesh of the earth, we cannot really see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But we can realize some of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by meditating into His creation. And one of the greatest creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the sky, is the firmament, is the universe. And this verse particularly says, أَفَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا إِلَى السَّمَاءِ فَوْقَهُمْ كَيْفَ بَنَيْنَاهَا وَزَيَّنَّاهَا وَمَا لَهَا مِنْ فُرُوجٍ. There are three basic items the ayah is directing our attention to look into. how the sky is built, how the sky is ornamented, you see, yes, by stars, galaxies, and constellations and the like, and how the sky does not have any voids.
Yes.
And these three basic facts have not come to notice to man until the latest decades of the 20th century.
Very true.
And for the Quran to spell these facts out that beautifully as an example to testify to the might, knowledge, and wisdom of the Creator is a miracle by itself, because nobody at that time, 14 centuries ago, knew anything about any of these three basic facts. For the first fact, how the sky is built. The most predominant idea about the creation of the universe is what we call the Big Bang Theory. And an eminent scholar of our time, Stephen Hawking, wrote in one of his books, now we know that this universe came by a big explosion. And he said, we understand that explosions result in the scattering of things randomly without any order. He said, but an explosion would create that wonderful, very precise, and very well-calculated universe must need a determination before that explosion, exactly, must need a great mind that would determine the masses, the volumes, the distances, the relationships. So how the sky is built is really one of the main testimonies to the greatness of our Creator and the knowledge, wisdom, and power of that Creator. Secondly, the ornamentation or the decoration of the sky. The scattering of the stars and, of course, their satellites, and the gradual build-up, you get a star like our sun, and you get its satellites, the solar system. And then you get, this is part of a galaxy, and the galaxy is part of what we'll call galactic gathering or collection, and then a local group, and then super galactic gathering, and then super local group, and so on. Yes. You see, so there is a system of this decoration, of the distribution of the heavenly bodies in the sky, and this system again can testify to the wisdom, knowledge, and might of the Creator.
So the decoration is to a level that we can see, and
you
we can also
see can't beauty
see
in it. You can see, yes, of course, we are guided at night in the darkness of night by,
yes,
the stars. But at the same time, if you look to a clear sky, the mere meditation on the distribution of these stars is something that in really instills in one's mind and one's soul, yani, the great, it makes you bow to your Creator, makes you really bow down to your Creator, because nobody could do that, you see, this wonderful distribution of the stars, according to a definite plan and a definite order that can testify to the unity of the Creator.
So the ornaments are not, it could also be not only the stars, not only the moon, not only the sun, it could also be the clouds, because sometimes when you're looking at the sky.
Definitely, but here the clouds can only be observed at a distance no more than 20 kilometers,
yes,
above,
yes,
sea level.
You're speaking, yes,
but
you're speaking
about light years,
yes,
you see.
Of course.
So the decoration of the sky mainly spells out the distribution of the stars. And their agglomerations.
Yes.
The greatest thing is that this verse testifies to the fact that there are no voids in the universe. And until very recently, people thought that this universe is emptiness, because the pressure of the atmosphere decreases gradually as you go upwardly.
Yes.
You see, until you cannot feel it after 1,000 kilometers. Cannot feel it, you see. And if you imagine that the distance between the Earth and the Sun is in the range of 150 million kilometers. So they spoke about the emptiness of the universe. Al-fada'il kawni.
Yes.
This universe is emptiness. But this verse emphasizes the fact that there is no emptiness in the universe.
Yes.
And this is the most important scientific notion in this verse.
Mm-hmm.
How can we know that there is no emptiness in the universe? The mere expansion of the universe, which is an established fact, defies and denies any emptiness in the universe. If there is emptiness, this expansion could never take place.
Yes.
You see. Secondly, the abundance of what we call the dark matter. The dark matter in the universe is an unseen matter, you see. And because it's unseen and it must have higher densities than the average matter around it, you see, again, this defies the emptiness of the universe. To have a dark matter in the universe defies the fact that this universe is emptiness.
But some scientists thought of it the opposite way. Some scientists thought of it the opposite way. The dark means there are
emptiness. Yes, but yes. This is wrong. Of course,
this is wrong.
Dark matter is a denser matter than the average matter around it. You see.
Yes.
And that's why modern cosmologists claim that with all the advancement in the area of astronomy, we know less than 10% of what's really there. You see, mathematical calculations show more matter than what we see.
Yes.
And so actually we see less than 10%. Finally, the meditation about the process of creation of the universe defies its emptiness. Yes. So science today admits clearly that matter and energy infill space and time. There is no space without time, and there is no time without space, and there is no space and time without matter and energy. And, of course, the last point is that we believe that there is matter and antimatter, and if there is emptiness, you see, then matter and matter would collide together and would finish this whole universe. So it has been scientifically proved that our universe is immense, is vast, is very well planned, is established on exactly the same basis from the elementary particles to the totality of the universe. And this sky is highly decorated and ornamented by the scattering of the heavenly bodies in it according to a plan, from solar systems to galaxies to galactic constellations or galactic gathering, local groups, super galactic grouping, super local groups, and so on. And also, finally, it testifies to the fact that there is no emptiness in that universe. These facts were not known until the later part of the 20th century. For the Quran, a book revealed more than 14 centuries ago to an unlettered prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in an unlettered society. This verse alone can testify to the correctness of the Holy Quran and the correctness of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Alayhi sallam. We'll move for a short break and return back to continue with more explanation on this beautiful verse. Stay tuned. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back. You're watching Quran and Science. And now we move to questions, and we start first by Zabihullah.
Thank you. Professor, my question is that when we look up above to the sky, is it the real sky or is it like a space?
Linguistically, sky is everything above us. And Islamically, sky includes everything other than the earth. Because the Quran always separates between the earth and the firmaments, the earth and the skies, the earth and the heavens, you see. So everything around us is part of the sky. Everything you see, not only the bodies, the heavenly bodies, but even the gases in between. We have what we call interplanetary matter, interstellar matter, intergalactic matter. So matter and energy are distributed everywhere, between the planets, between the stars, between the galaxies, between the galactic groups. So matter and energy is everywhere.
So then what's the meaning in the verse when it says that sky don't have any openings?
We don't have any
openings. Any voids or any openings?
There is no emptiness. Matter and energy is in filling space and time. You see, that you cannot find part of the sky without matter and energy. You see, although it may be very, very thin and very diluted, but it is there. It's there, you see. So there is no absolute emptiness in the universe.
And then concerning the seven skies, is after each sky we have another sky, or it's like seven parts?
You see, with the great advancement of science today, we only see a small sector of the first sky. And unless Allah has told us that He has created seven firmaments out of the original one firmament, we have no means to establish that.
So maybe we'll have, after each sky, the stars, or galaxies?
Or no. Stars are only found in the first firmament, according to the Quran. وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَا سَمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ. We have ornamented the first firmament with lamps. And the lamps here means stars.
Stars. Okay, so it's only on the first sky.
Only on the first firmament.
We don't know the difference between the different levels.
Well, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has an authentic hadith that describes that the distance between each firmament and the other are equal. Yeah, see, and he said that as if you have walked for 500 years. Just to give an example of the immense dimension of the universe. Because he, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, on the night of ascension, Laylatul Isra and Mi'raj, he passed through all this. So he has seen it.
That's true.
So he said that he passed through the seven firmaments. The Quran tells us that the only firmament with the stars is the first firmament.
Yes.
First film alone.
Okay. Any further questions, Abi Hello?
No.
Okay. Well, let's move to Mustafa.
Yeah. Yes. Just one more question regarding the same topic, regarding the decoration, the stars, and the planet up there. Is it the only known thing for these stars and planets is to decorate the sky, or there's anything, any other functions for all of these stars and planets?
Okay, can you please repeat your question, in a louder?
I was saying regarding the same topic, I was asking about the stars and the planet. Is it the only reason for the creation for these creations to be for decoration, and that's it? Or is there any other function for it?
So the stars and planets is the main purpose of having this creation is for the decoration.
It's a system which Allah has laid down, because you cannot have a planet without a star. And every star has got a number of planets and a number of moons, a number of satellites. And of course, usually the smaller body revolves around its own axis and rotates around the bigger body. And you get a system, a unified system. We see it in the structure of the atom. We see it in the structure of the living cell. We see it in the solar system, as we see it in the galaxy, and in the galactic gathering, and so on. So there is a pattern which Allah has created. You cannot find a planet existing without a star, because there was no reason for life. Because a planet, or life on a planet, is like our Earth, depends on the energy coming from the sun. If we lose that energy, life would stop.
And the sun itself, is a star, but it's a huge star.
Yes.
And we're connected to it.
You see, of course, every star has got its own satellites. And of course, we don't know that whether every satellite has got life or not. But the Quran tells us that وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ خَلْقُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَمَا بَثَّ فِيهِمَا مِنْ دَابَّةٍ. Out of the science of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the creation of heavens and earth, and what He has spread into both of them of walking entities, you see, or trotters on earth. So we know that this universe is full of life. But Allah did not want to worry us about them, because first of all, they may be too far away from us. There is no means of communicating with them or getting in touch with them. And that's why at the end of the verse, he says, وَهُوَ عَلَىٰ جَمْعِهِمْ إِذَا يَشَاءُ قَدِيرٌ. On the day of judgment, he will let us know them.
Yes.
But in this life, there is no need really, so that we can communicate with them and speak about aliens and green man and UFOs. And this is all imagination that has no scientific foundation.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says also, Professor, وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ.
وَيَخْلُقُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Yes. Allah creates what you don't know of. Yes.
Okay, Professor, I one another question I got now. In Surah Mulk.
But raise your voice a little
bit. In Surah Mulk, the verse says, وَلَقَدْ زَيَّنَّا السَّمَاءَ الدُّنْيَا بِمَصَابِيحَ وَجَعَلْنَاهَا رُجُومًا لِلشَّيَاطِينِ.
Yes.
So, what science stands?
The رُجُوم للشياطين are mainly the meteors and meteorites. This رُجُوم actually result from the explosion of solid bodies. Solid bodies like the planets. But the stars are gaseous bodies. But in the process of their evolution, a star may end into a solid body, like as what we mentioned before, the neutron stars, which are very, very dense, or they may change finally into planets, you see. So if that planet explodes, it will scatter into pieces, and these pieces will come to the Earth as it goes to other heavenly bodies. They, as a result of the fantastic speed they are running with, they have a friction with the atmosphere, and this friction can cause them to burn. If they burn completely, they are meteors, but if a solid part is left behind, it's called a meteorite. And these meteorites, they hit the ground, they can make big holes, half a kilometer or so in diameter, probably half a kilometer or more in depth, and you could imagine the power they are traveling with, the speed they are traveling with. And at the beginning of this century, we have a meteorite falling in Juba, southern Sudan. It was 90 tons of solid iron, of pure iron. And you could imagine 90 tons of solid iron traveling by the cosmic speed. If it hits the Empire State, it will flatten it to the ground, you see. And that's why, by the mercy of Allah, most of these meteorites fall in uninhabited areas. So that Allah shows us their impact.
Yeah. Anything to do, Professor, with the shooting stars that we hear about?
No, shooting stars are the meteors.
Okay.
You see, if it burns completely, we call it a shooting star.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, meteors are actually solid bodies that burn out completely.
I see.
As a result of friction with the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, if we go into further explanation of the verse, do you think the meaning of this verse shows the perfection and the creativity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So it indicates, like what Zabihullah had said at the beginning of this episode, it indicates something about heaven that makes you about heaven?
You see, I always tell my friends, like you and my students, and you see, Akhirah has got its own laws that are completely different from the worldly laws.
Yes.
And that's why matters related to Jannah, to paradise, and hell, matters relating to how the end of this world would come to. This does not need the worldly laws. You see, it has its own laws, because the Quran tells us that Akhirah will not happen gradually. لا تأتيكم إلا بغتة. It will come so suddenly to you. Mm-hmm. It will struck everything so suddenly. So it has its own laws. And that's why we have to accept any notion about paradise and hell, any notion about Akhirah, as it is spelled out in the Quran and in the Sunnah, without trying to analyze it according to our own laws. Because Akhirah will have its own laws and its own sunan, that the own pattern of working, which are completely different from the laws of this world. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the laws of this world gradual, so that the human brain can understand them and can use them for making this life a better life. But the laws in Akhirah be, and it will be.
Yes. Okay, Professor of Geology, Zaghloul Naggar, we thank you very much for joining us today. It was a pleasure to have you.
Thank you.
My dear guests, Zabihullah Kareem and Mustafa Ismail, thank you very much for joining
us.
This, my dear brothers and sisters, we come to the end of this episode of Quran and Science. See you in the next episode. Thanks for watching. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum as-salam.